And the happiness has to come from the inside. You attract what you are. So the healthier you can become, the more you will attract healthy people in your life. Love yourself enough to give you the chance to discover who you are.
Welcome to the Consistent and Predictable Income Community Podcast. The CPI methodology is the only system that teaches the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks.
Best-selling author and realtor Deborah Scott is passionate about elevating excellence in every way possible, in all the details of buying, selling, or building a home. Her mission is to make each experience an easy and efficient one. In this episode, Deb will share her past traumatic experiences and how she achieved healing through communication.
My name is Dan Roshan. I'm the host of the CPI Podcast, which is the real estate show designed to help top producing agents leverage and scale your business, allowing you to earn more money in less time, for seasoned agents to help you get to the next level of stable income, and for new agents to help you find the right way to freedom and money so that each of you can reach your potential as a person and as a real estate agent, which means you'll have certainty in your future. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show.
I am joined with a new friend of mine, Ms. Deb Scott. And we're going to be talking about healing communications with yourself as well as others. I want to tell you a little bit about Deb before we sort of jump into this. She is someone that has really overcome a lot of challenges in her life, family dysfunction, and people that she knows with alcoholism that are close to her. And we'll jump into some of that. And really some people that she's lost $1 million through a Ponzi scheme. Sort of want to hear more about that, Deb. And you've been a featured expert in many different areas, CBS Radio, Accomplished Magazine, Woman Magazine, Simple Steps to Real Change, among many, many others. So I thought it'd be a great conversation for you and I to jump into today, because there's so many people, as we were talking in the pre-show, that are right now, some are lonely, some are frustrated with their spouses, some may be having emotional challenges, and that's why I invited you to this conversation today, so welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I love what you're doing, and your story inspired me, and I think that is the meaning of life. We help each other. We don't walk the journey alone. To me, I've always wanted somebody to give me what I didn't have. So this is why I wrote the book. This is why I do what I do, is if I had had me when I was younger, maybe I could have avoided some of the train wrecks. And since we can never be as old as our grandfather or go back in time, I think there's some redemptive quality to sharing some of the wisdom and the tools. And then it becomes up to each person whether they want to implement that or not. But vehicles like yours, I know I have a blog talk radio show. These are things that can expand our mind. And, you know, the parachute only works when it's open. So I think if we come in with an open attitude that we don't know everything, then we have the possibility of learning so much more. And ironically, all of the things that I hated, quote unquote, hated, we use that word hated, so much in my life ended up being the lessons that taught me so much in how to get everything that I really wanted. So the irony that the things I didn't want to deal with, the feelings I didn't want to lean into, the lessons I didn't want to face, that doing all of those things that were uncomfortable brought me the peace and comfort and freedom to live the life that I dream of and still am learning every day about and working diligently to be the best person I was created to be, as you and probably all the people that are joining you, because you're a show for a reason.
So you mentioned in your book, which I started to read, The Sky Is Green and the Grass Is Blue. And this is by Deb Scott. And so tell me, this is about turning your upside down world right side up. And I want to develop, go into what you just shared with me in that opening there. I also want to use this as a context. So what caused you to want to write this book?
Okay. Well, my experience was in cardiac surgery sales, and I was in the operating room for hours in the Boston area, and you wouldn't believe how much with surgeons during surgery, even though surgery's going on and you're talking to so many people, and we would just genuinely be discussing life or things that were happening. And customers would say to me, whether they be a secretary or a cardiac surgeon or a PA, Deb, that would be great in a book, or you should put that in a book. And this went on for years. And my mother, I'm an only child, but my mother was my best friend. And before she passed away of cancer, she said, Deborah, she used to say, you promise me before I die, you will finish this book. And so when she passed away, that was one of the promises that I kept, that I finished the book. So it was really a self-journaling. It was really other people saying, you should put that in a book. And I think the synchronicity of life, and maybe this has happened to you and others that are listening, sometimes people will tell you things like, oh, you should do this, or you're really good at that. And sometimes we learn about ourselves from other people in a way that we don't see ourselves that way. So that's how the book came about. And again, that I wanted to have these lessons that I never got. So selfishly speaking, it was quite healing for me to be able to write it and share it. And I'm working on another book, I'd Rather Be Me, so we don't compare and despair. But it just was a lot of people, because I really don't have a lot of original ideas. They really come from all the people that I've met along the way, because I'm a firm believer we all help each other, just like we are in this moment right now.
So can you say Boston again?
Boston.
Thank you.
Now that I'm in Florida, that I have Tom Brady and I have... So life is good.
I think you are a very powerful woman to make sure that you surround yourself by Tom Brady, right? He's just like come from Boston to Florida, can't get away from him, right?
I'm telling you, we're spoiled. I know Boston. Everybody hates us except for everybody that's in Boston. But now I'm seeing the Tampa Bay little graphics and memes going out. So it's kind of funny. But, that really is kind of an echo and a segue to leading into, I think that we need a sense of humor sometimes. One of the things that I put in the book in the very front, I list all of the things that, reveal it to heal it. All the things that most people would say, oh, Deb, you were sexually abused. Oh, my gosh, you lost $1 million. Or, oh, your dad was an alcoholic. Or you had so many different struggles with family and friends and your parents died within a year of each other and you were a caregiver. And, oh, my gosh, but on the outside, you look like you're doing the big hair and you've got the I love me wall on the back and you're a successful cardiac surgeon sales rep. And what could possibly be wrong with you? And on the inside, I was just so broken that if anybody really knew who I was, then, oh my gosh, I couldn't be accepted because all of these things in the back, which I still love, but they collect dust now. Those are things that the outside judges, and the happiness has to come from the inside. So I think when you express to somebody else, and you've done this beautifully in the post that I've read about you, you know what? I had this struggle or I have that struggle. And then you realize, oh, I have that struggle or I have that too. Then it disarms the power of it. Realize that, you know what? We're not alone. And I think that helps a lot of healing, and that allows space to grow, to learn, to change, and freedom to do something that maybe we never thought we could.
So Deb, tell me, maybe somebody may be struggling right now. And I know that you've gone through sexual abuse and alcoholic dad and $1 million. So just pick any of those and just walk me through the journey of where were you emotionally? What happened physically in your environment? And how did you come from a place of being low to a place of power? How did you do that so that maybe somebody else that might be in that low spot today could maybe create a vision for themselves?
Okay. So first of all, I would say that I'm still in the skin suit on the planet Earth of school. So I still get those feelings of whatever it is, depression, despair, anxiety, or lows. I mean, I still have those moments. What has changed is the tools that I talk about in the book and the things that I've learned through the School of Hard Knocks. Those things help me reframe it and change those negative feelings into something where I'm capable of seeing the positive in it. Maybe not necessarily always feeling it, and learning that feelings are not necessarily exact truths, because clouds are always moving and the sun's always shining behind it. But it really was a quest and a commitment to myself that I did not want to live that way anymore. I didn't want to feel that way anymore. I didn't want to be that way anymore. I did not want to live that rock bottom the rest of my life. And I had to make a choice where people change, not because they see the light, even though we hope that seeing the light here in this conversation will create change. But really, you change because you feel that heat. It's usually pain that is the motivator. We don't want pain. We stay in the same rut because we don't want pain. We think avoiding something will avoid pain. And the irony of what I learned, and you have to experience it at least once to say, you know what? If this could happen once, it can happen twice or three times. I just didn't want to be miserable anymore. And I had to accept that my life was what it was. I had to forgive myself and others. And truly, I had to have trust in a higher power or God, my faith, and realizing that not understanding has nothing to do with me living a good life. Because as a biology major, I wanted to understand something. And I began to realize, I don't understand how you did all this video stuff. I don't understand everything in my computer. I don't understand how the plane works, but I still get in a plane. And hopefully when things are better and the apocalypse is over, we could travel again. But I don't understand a lot of things, and I don't boycott them. So I had to reframe negative experiences as a gratitude.
I recently wrote the book, Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. I wrote this book because I have sold real estate since 2007 and developed an immense amount of experience and knowledge. During my journey, I've witnessed hundreds and maybe even thousands of real estate agents fail in this business. And I firmly believe that that's a shame. In Real Estate Evolution, I will show you the exact steps that I have used as a real estate salesperson to sell 1 to 15 homes every single month for the past 129 consecutive months. It took me more than 2 decades to learn the sales and persuasion techniques, and more than 1 decade to master the real estate sales techniques to be able to produce the content that makes up this book. And it took me more than 1 year to write at a pace of 3 hours every single day. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income in your business, I invite you to get the book, Real Estate Evolution. And you can get that by visiting www.therealestateevolution.com. And I'll even give it to you for free as long as you pay for the postage.
Okay, so let's get into like a specific, because you have so many great tools in your book here. So let's walk through like just one tool that you may have used so that a listener or viewer can better understand, if you can think back when you were experiencing one of those challenges.
Right. Well, I can take something of being engaged and not being married, but I'm very young in Venice, Florida, so there's still a chance. So
wait a second. This is a shout out to those young gentlemen in Venice, Florida that are looking for a significant other. There's opportunity.
Oh my gosh. You just never know what you don't know. All right. So I'll take a specific example of somebody I was engaged to. This person was not drinking, but still an alcoholic, but not in a program, and had been married before with children and all that. And that wasn't so much the issue. But the situation of being verbally abused, or we get into those patterns, we're attracted to the familiar.
You were verbally abused.
Yes. Okay. I think it kind of went along with a lot of things. Verbally abused, sexually abused, I was in that victim mentality because that's all I thought it was worth.
So what did you do about it?
All right. So what happened was when I was able to translate, okay, what is God trying to teach me in this? What can I learn? Instead of why is this bad thing happening to me? What is God trying to teach me to protect me? So I had to look at it like a stop sign in a road. I don't go driving, and you probably don't either, and the listeners probably don't as well, when I go to a stoplight or a stop sign, I don't say, oh, I can't believe you're stopping me. You're really infringing on my freedom. This is horrible. I hate this. You say, oh, I'm going to abide by the stop sign because it's protecting me.
Sometimes.
So that's what I had to do, was reframe. Okay, you know, God, maybe what are you showing me that these situations that don't feel good, these are stop signs for me to protect me, to help me look at the situation and just list how I'm feeling. And is this a good? Is this healthy? Is this bad? How can I change?
So you did that when you were in that situation, and then you wrote out actually what was good and what was bad?
Eventually, that's what ended up creating that the breakup of why I didn't marry that person. But did I do that by myself? No, I did it with a good therapist. Is a chapter in the book. Find a good therapist versus a bad therapist. Therapists are people too. Believe me, some of those therapists need a lot of therapy. I was going to Al-Anon regularly. I was reading a lot of self-help books. I was doing a lot of prayer, a lot of journaling, a lot of the seminars and retreats that I talk about, a lot of volunteering. So I was practicing all of those things to get to that point. But I wouldn't say that it was a silver bullet. It didn't happen overnight. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't difficult. But I will say that at this point in my life, when things happen, you know, I'm losing $1 million. I don't advise it. It's not really a good thing to do. Okay. I really wouldn't suggest that, people. But you realize that, guess what? I'm still alive. I'm eating. I have a great place in Florida. If it wasn't for that $1 million, maybe I would have never sold the house in New England. I would have died in the big farmhouse of 1835 with the two dogs. And maybe I would have never had the courage to move to Florida. So we have to consider other possibilities than what we automatically feel. And I think that the most important thing we can do is realize that it's not about other people. Other people have nothing to do with anything. It's about us inside. And that was the biggest revelation, because that one finger pointed at you has three fingers pointed back at me. And when you keep the focus on yourself and you realize that you can't fix the world and only God can change people, if you keep the focus on yourself, I know for me, I am my own full-time job. I have enough with myself. And then when you can detach from, okay, it's not about the other person. It's not about my marriage is terrible and this person and my spouse is always doing X, Y, and Z. No, maybe you haven't resolved something in your life and X, Y, and Z is triggering that emotion. You're transferring it, and salt only hurts on an open wound. So maybe you should heal the wound and then the salt won't hurt anymore. And you attract what you are. So the healthier you can become, the more you will attract healthy people in your life in every area.
How did you lose $1 million?
Well, how did I lose $1 million? It was around, I just buried two parents 1 year apart, and I had about $500,000 on my own from medical sales, doing very well. I was very blessed. And my parents had left me some money, and I wanted it to be in a CD. Took all my money out of the stock market where it was risky, and I wanted to find a CD. And what I did is I went on Bankrate.com to look for the best CD rates. And Bankrate had a bank, Millennium Bank, listed as a top CD for 6%. And at that time, 6% going down 5-4. And I investigated it for many months. It was right before Madoff, right before Stanford. It was one of the top 10 Ponzi's in 2009. And so I had put this $1 million in this 6% CD because I knew I had to clean the house, sell the house, and it was highly recommended. It was in Wealth Magazine. It was Washington Mutual was giving the interest income checks. It was Millennium Bank. It was all these doctors were in it for over a decade. And like Madoff and like Stanford, it had been around for so long that I didn't even know what the word Ponzi was. So what ended up happening 10 years later, and after a 4-hour deposition with JP Morgan Chase, who bought Washington Mutual, and they did pay out some money. But what you realize is there's a lot of corruption. People were getting paid off and ignoring, just like with Madoff. People knew that there were things going on. People knew that there were payoffs. People knew that William Wise had done another Ponzi. But the SEC, you just assume, and there's that word, that everybody else is taking care of you and that everything is perfectly safe. And what I learned is I was going by my set of rules and my standards because I was going by my world. I wasn't thinking, oh, Bankrate.com's getting paid off to put that up high on the list, or somebody's money laundering at Washington Mutual and nobody's catching that, or the SEC isn't going after this person who started this very great private bank who was highly rated, who had done a Ponzi in Pennsylvania. It was just one thing after another. So I think working with the Department of Justice, working with the FBI, having depositions, working with a private lawyer as well. And we did get some back, but, you know, I ran an email chain with so many people that had invested and lost everything. And similar to Madoff and Stanford and all these scams, they really go for people that are really nice, get so hurt, and people have died, and people that couldn't see, and people that lost life savings. And there's always someone worse off in life than us. But it wasn't like I went to a back alley to put my money in a 25% seat. No, I went to bankrate.com, and this was supposed to be great.
You already know 87% of all real estate agents fail in this business. And you also know it doesn't have to be that way. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income, I invite for you to get your free copy of Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. And you can do so when you visit www.therealestateevolution.com. I'll share with you your book that I authored to show you the way, and it's free. You just have to pay for the shipping. Thanks.
Do you remember the moment that you realized that it was a Ponzi scheme?
Yes.
Tell me about that exact moment.
I was going to the gym in Newburyport, and it was on CNN. And a friend of mine said, Deb, isn't Millennium Bank, isn't that where you have your CD? And I remember looking as I'm entering, and I see it on CNN.
What did you feel?
I'm like, this can't be true. It was like 9/11. Like, this isn't happening. Even though I'm seeing those planes going into the buildings, it's not happening. It can't be real. And I remember absolutely, like, you turn on a faucet and your guts fall out. That was me. And I just said, it can't be real. But then when I called the broker, and I actually stayed at the gym and finished the workout because I'm like, that can't be true.
And you remember the workout? Were you just like noodling this through, and you're on the treadmill noodling this through? Or what's going on there?
Well, I think I was saying, this can't be true. And I've got to call Bob Kelty. I mean, this can't be true. And I just kept saying, I'm sure there's an explanation. So I just thought, you know, it can't be true. And then when I found out it was true.
How did you find out it was true?
Because I called Bob Kelty after the gym, and I said, hey, I just got out of the gym and I just saw this on CNN, and safety of principle, and this is a CD, and this is, what is this word, Ponzi? And that's $1 million. And you were there telling me how happy my parents would be. You know, I just buried two parents and you stole $1 million from me.
What did he say to you?
Oh, I didn't know either. This is William Wise, and I, you know, we'll get this back and this will be fixed. And, you know, just learned to deal with a lot of people in my life, but I never got trained in how to deal with a sociopath. So I had something scheduled. At that time, I was director of confirmation, and I had two busloads of kids going to an event. And I was on my hands and knees begging God, okay, this is a test. Is the $1 million more important than me still following through with these kids? And I've got to just get the, I've just got to ask you for the strength, because I have no strength to do this with the kids. That's already been a commitment, and I'll find out somehow how this will work out. So I did go, but let me tell you, sick as can be. And that went on for 10 years, that Ponzi went on for. And
about the aftermath, the recovery from that, because I know that you're healthy now in regards to that. What year did that happen?
That was in 2009 that the SEC closed it down. And you can, if you go on the list of Ponzi's, it was in the top 10. And let me just say, every day is like a struggle to still forgive and grow. I wouldn't say that there isn't still a little residual impact with money. You lose $1 million, and trust me, it changes how you feel about a lot of things. But I have the awareness and I have the self-talk with my own therapy in saying, okay, here's the good news. I learned that money doesn't buy you happiness. I learned that money is not going to change the sun coming up the next day. I lost friends, people that I thought were my friends that didn't want to have anything to do with me anymore because I didn't have that money. I learned the value that I put more of my faith in my $1 million bank account than I did in God. And I learned that I had some spiritual sickness and some disease to really focus on, and I still have to focus on. And it's amazing how I appreciate more in life, whether it be this moment or meeting you or the people, or I realize and I appreciate the things that don't cost the money. And I think that the real gift is that I would have never ended up in Venice, Florida, where I've met some of the best people and I do some of the things that I love the most.
Why Venice, Florida?
Here's another thing. I've never been to Venice, Florida, and I didn't know anybody in Venice, Florida, and I've never been to Venice, Florida in my life when I came here. I just knew that I wanted to get away from that house, and it was a big house. It took a lot of effort to clean it out. It had been in my family for 50 years, and when I finally was able to sell it, I just knew I wanted to talk to some palm trees and get some warm weather, because as much as I love the Patriots, I don't like the snow anymore.
Because well, I was still got time. You're good.
Oh, my God. So anyway, I was going to go to Clearwater, and I think it was a Super Bowl weekend. I think it was the one that we won in the last, like, I don't know, 30 seconds. But anyway, I just didn't like when I looked at the houses. And it's funny, I'm a real estate agent now, right? Because my parents are in a real estate, different than when you actually see them in person. And I was so upset. I thought, oh, I just can't live here. It's not me. I don't like it. It doesn't look like the pictures. And I didn't know what to do. And I think I picked Clearwater because of some sales meetings, and I had gone to Clearwater and I liked it. And friends had said, just go a little bit more south. There's Sarasota in that area. And I was Googling places and I found a rental in this town called Venice. I had never heard of Venice. I had never been to Venice. I didn't know anybody in Venice. And I took the rental in Venice because they negotiated the price with me. So the first time I had been to Venice, Florida, was when I got the keys to the rental. So would I have done that? Would I have been a risk taker? I had so much pain from losing that $1 million. Would that, if not for that, I would have stayed in my comfort zone. And so that got me to Venice, Florida. And people kept saying to me, so who do you know in Venice? No one. So how many times have you been to Venice? No, never. Did you come with your family? Do you have family here? Nope, all my family's passed away. How did you end up here? I guess it was just like a God thing, because that was the rental that was available. And I ended up, I loved it. I loved the community, the church, the people, the places. I rented for a year, living, starting my new life on selling that money from the house, which wasn't in the Ponzi, thank God. And, you know, ended up buying something and starting a new career into real estate, doing something different. But still keeping some of those things that I love from before, like the writing, the radio show, and the teaching and the speaking and things like that.
So let me ask you, Deb. So we only have about 2 minutes left. And what I really want to ask you is, if you are at home, if you're a viewer, or you're listening to this right now, and you are in that low place, what advice do you have to that person right now that is experiencing some challenges, some frustrations, some despair? What would you give, say it's not me, but let's say that was me, what advice would you give to me?
Okay. I would say, pay no attention to the little voices in your head. Do not believe everything you think. Don't buy the lie. It's not true. And I am living proof that it's not true. So here's the simple thing. You cannot believe everything that you think. What the problem is, you don't have the right antibiotic to kill the disease. And you need to get new tools in your toolbox, like your show, my show, your book, my book, other people, great people we know mutually. And you have to be open to learning something new. And you have to find people that have overcome obstacles in ways that you could never imagine. And you have to learn from them. If you want to become a good tennis player, you don't go out there and find the worst tennis player. You find someone that okay, if I suffer depression, all right, maybe Deb has something to help with depression, or if I suffer anxiety, or if I lost money, or I had a relationship that fell apart. There's somebody that's had what you have. Find them.
So your advice, to sum it up, is to surround yourself with the right people to get their energy, their wisdom, their partnership, their coaching, their friendship, because together we can all get through this, regardless of what you're experiencing. Not you, Deb, I'm talking to everybody except for you. Regardless of what you're experiencing right now, others are in the same shoes, in the same boat, and find people that you can align with.
Right. And you and I both know, like, Al-Anon was one of the biggest saviors for me, and it's a buck donation. So there's things out there for cheap and for free.
Yeah.
And just don't believe what you're thinking. Don't buy that lie. And you know what? Love yourself enough to do it. And if you believe that you exist for a reason, because God doesn't make junk, then you're supposed to do something and stop wasting your life. Stop being mean to yourself. Do something good for yourself and get with you. Get with a good coach. Get into a great meeting, because 50 years from now, I'm not going to be here, but I hope I did something that was worthwhile. And we are all here for a reason. So love yourself enough to give you the chance to discover who you are. And there's so many awesome people out there. And I can't thank you enough for having me on your show and what you're doing, because you're an inspiration to me.
Thank you very much. Deb, how can I get in touch with you?
Well, you can email me, deb@debscott.com. You can contact you, and then you can get in touch with me. You can go get my book at Amazon, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue. Yes. And it was a bestseller in transformation. And then we get your book too. There you go. We can do a dynamic duo there. I love that. Yay. And just find me, my Facebook page. You can find Deb Scott, Arthur Speaker. You can Deb Sells Florida. You can find real estate. You can call me, text me. Not quite ubiquitous, but, you know, I'd like to be around social media as much as you. So, I love speaking from people, and I love learning from people. And I'm just grateful to just be here.
Thank you, Deb. Appreciate your time.
Bye.
Hate the feeling of missing out and not knowing where to start? Aside from grabbing a copy of The Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, we also encourage you to join our ever-growing group, the Consistent and Predictable Income Community. Apply for a membership at the Consistent and Predictable Income Community on Facebook, and visit us at thecpicommunity.com online to listen to our previous superstar interviews.
What's up, you guys? Jeff Cohn here. I'm really excited to be interviewing Sir Dan Roshan.
Dan is a top team leader in the DC area with Keller Williams.
Dan is fantastic. He's a go-giver. He helps other real estate agents level up their business, level up their life.
Dan's a very successful realtor as well as author.
He just came out with a book for real estate agents to kind of help people pivot. We went through and talked about how to succeed in adversity.
You're still listening, it is because you align with the CPI community. That means that you love to learn. You are ambitious, qualified, smart, and professional. Mostly, you understand that you're in charge to design your life. If you do not want to wait until next week's show is posted, I invite you right now to visit www.thecpicommunity.com, which is the official website of the CPI community. There, you'll have access to eavesdrop on past conversations I've had with the top salespeople, business owners, and entrepreneurs. The content is free, and there's no opt-in. If you really want to hit the ground running, I encourage you to apply on the homepage of thecpicommunity.com to become CPI certified. It is a compensated service, and those that have become certified have reported back that they have more than tripled their business sales and done so in 20% less time. The CPI certification is a part of the CPI curriculum, which is the blueprint where you will learn the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks. Lastly, I invite for you to share this podcast with others who are competitive, love to learn, assertive, relationship-based, self-starters, just like you, so they can also benefit. And please leave us a rating or a review, and subscribe now so that you'll be notified of the next show. Thank you again. I'll see you on the next show. To your success.
If you're a real estate agent and you're located outside of the Washington, D.C. area, and you have a client that wants to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland area, consider to refer to me. I promise that when you do so, we'll treat them like gold, update you throughout the process, and most importantly, we'll make you look good. And we'll pay you a nice referral fee. If you're a real estate agent in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, or Washington, D.C. area, and you're seeking certainty and predictability in your business, contact me now. I'd love to be able to set up a conversation to show you how we can help you to close transactions every single month of the year. Just imagine January, February, March, April, May, every month of the year that you have income coming into your pocket to help you and your family. Hit me up on social media or email me, Dan@greetingsvirginia.com. Love to set up a time to chat.